Listen to the Church of Mabus radio show at 11 p.m. Eastern, Saturday nights with host Jeffrey Pritchett, bringing you The High Strange. Visit www.churchofmabusradio.com. That's www.churchofmabusradio.com.
Hey everybody, this is Jill Marie Morris from Perspective X. If you've been searching for a variety talk radio show with an edge, then look no further. Join my co-host Stephanie Benetti and I as we get down and dirty the latest hot topics and relevant newsworthy stories. Informative, engaging, and quite often controversial, Perspective X is a unique blend of insight, opinion, and wit. So tune in and listen every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. on UPRN 107.9 FM New Orleans. It's not just an opinion, it's our perspective. Perspective X.
Tune in to the Mind Cemetery with your hosts, Chip and Nicole, every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern.
Exclusively on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. We delve into UFOs, abductions, ghosts, aliens, conspiracies, and cryptozoology.
And how could you ever forget about those creepy topics you won't hear on your local news?
This is where I would insert my obligatory skeptical statement. The Mind Cemetery, where the paranoia about the paranormal comes to rest.
Follow us on Twitter and subscribe to us on Facebook. Also, check us out on our website, mindcemetery.com, for show updates and the critically acclaimed Mind Cemetery blog.
It's not critically acclaimed, but you should check it out anyway. MindCemetery.com.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Benetti, and along with Joe Montaldo, we co-host a new show called News on the Flips. You can catch us every Saturday night, 8 p.m. Central, where we will be discussing current events and topics going on in the world today. We have opinions on everything. There's no topic that we won't discuss, and we'll go places that other shows wouldn't dare. False history gets made all day, every day. The truth of the new is never on the news, but you can catch it here, News on the Flip Side, only on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network.
You are listening to UPRN 107.9 New Orleans.
Tune in to UFO Undercover, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, with your host, Joe Montaldo, right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
Welcome back. And now, News on the Flip Side with your host, Joe Montaldo.
Ladies and gentlemen, the world needs to hear the truth.
Welcome to the Church of Mavis radio show. It's Saturday night. We're back from the dead. Made it through another week. Been a long week. There's a lot of storms in Florida today, which they always say they're going to be bad, but didn't really do anything here but rain a lot. I want it to be really bad, but it wasn't. It was a pussitude storm. It really didn't do anything. But what's going on? We got Michael Jagers here tonight. If you recall, he's was on with Tessa, B. Dick, Philip K. Dick's wife. She used to chill with Philip K. Dick, sci-fi genius. And he's back, and he is part of the Walking Dead show. He's a zombie. That's his gig. He's done other stuff, too. How you doing, Michael?
I'm doing really well. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, I guess, or...
Yeah,
I'm single. I had a breakup, which it was for the best, but I'm going through that whole thing, which I've been through it before, so it's not like it's anything new. I've been down that road many times, but I've talked about it on the show a couple of times. Basically, it was just a situation of someone not being supportive, and she would attack the radio show, attack my writing. Just not a very supportive person. There was another contactee, too, the second one, that turned the crank. And it's weird because when I'm with someone that claims they're a contactee, because I am, too, but I've seen UFOs and some beings back in my early days, but I haven't really seen anything in a while, but I would think when I'm with a contactee that more stuff would happen, but it never does. And I don't know if it cancels each other out, but nothing ever happened when she was here. And the last one I was with, nothing ever happened when she was here. So they're either lying or for some reason it canceled it out. But it was definitely an alien love bite situation. She was mentally abusive and just name calling and this is crazy stuff. So I'm glad it's over. But one thing I wanted to mention is she attacked my laptop 3 times. She threw it 2 times. She spilled Coke all over it on purpose. She slung Coke across the room all over my laptop and my dog and me and the couch. And it's working by the skin of its teeth. Luckily, some keys on it aren't working, and I've been putting up on my page that if there's anybody out there that has a computer laying around they're not using, or if they want to make a donation, I rarely ever ask for donations. The show's always been free, but you can go to churchofmavusradio.com, that's churchofmavusradio.com, and make a donation to my PayPal. And I'm trying to scrape up the money for another laptop. They're about $250 to $300 now, or a used one. Someone told me it's cheaper than that. So if anybody's out there is loaded a little bit, hit me up. And as you know, I don't think I've ever asked for donations on there. Maybe like once a million years ago. I don't even remember the last one. But if you got some De Niro's, hit me up, baby. That's right, because I need a new computer or I'm going bye-bye, thanks to Crazy Eggs. Also, what was that?
Karma will get her.
Yes.
I'm a firm believer in karma.
The final straw was the computer thing. I've never hit a woman, but when she did that Coke thing, I swear... God himself or the great spirit, Bob, whatever you want to call him, reached down and kept me from punching her in the face. Something literally stopped my hand from busting her teeth out. I was so mad. And I've never hit a chick before. I hit my sister with a chicken bone once. That's about it. But, that's about it. But anywho, I'm the Florida iCar director now. I've been promoting iCar heavily. We're going to have an iCar meeting, hopefully, sometime in the future with Joe Montano. I don't know if we're going to do it on UFO Undercover or just do something separate. Also, I had on news on the flip side doing a conservative versus liberal kind of thing. Of course, I'll be on the liberal side. And I'm sure I'll upset a lot of people or have a blood pressure attack dealing with them, their conservative side. So that's what's happening in the future. see how that goes. But what else? Oh, our guest tonight, Audrey Starborn, Starborn Support, and she's also has a convention experiencer speak to this year, 2013. So before we get to her, let me just read off who our next upcoming guests are real quick for April. Our last guest for March on the 30th is Christopher Noel. We're going to be talking about Sasquatch. Andy Colvin's going to, of course, all my dogs are going to go crazy now for no reason. And then they do that all the time, and then they go out and there's nothing there. Well, nothing that I know of, unless it's a deer or something. But Christopher Noel, March 30th, a Sasquatch. April 6th, Thunder White. We're going to be talking about Palladium Labs. He makes this strange technology that's like to protect you from the government zapping you. And I told that story about me calling him and talking to Zap from American Gladiators, and that was strange, but it was a cool conversation. Jerry Avalos is going to be with him from the Awake and Aware festival. It has something to do with Project Camelot. I don't know. I don't really listen to Project Camelot, but Thunder White Cloud sounds cool. So we're going to have him on. And then on the 13th, Ken Gerhard, about winged creatures like Mothman, and my buddy Blaze, who's in a rock band, is going to be co-hosting. It's his dream to be on a radio show, so I'm going to let him co-host. He's always busy, so it'll probably just be a once in a blue moon kind of thing. And then Kevin Randall, former military, he's going to be on the 20th of April. And then April 27th, Jamie Avalos on Sasquatch. And then just quickly, May 4th, Dr. Rita Lewis. She was supposed to be on a long time ago before Chip, and by the way, she had to cancel because of the convention. I interviewed her on Examiner. And then Stacy Brown, Sasquatch Hunters. And then Ken Bakeman, he has a lot of weird reptilian stories. And then Nick Redfern. So that's April and May. And then we got a lot of wild stuff for June, July, and August. Peter Lavenda's coming, so I can't wait for that. That's going to be interesting. But, and also June 1st, if, Michael, if you're available, if you're not, it's no big deal, but, Mike Mayo, he has a book about horror movies. It's just like a giant book about horror books. So if you're available for that, that'd be cool. But you might be busy doing, like, playing zombies or something. So who knows?
I can definitely put it on the schedule and see what we can do.
Yeah, I'd like to have you there for that one for sure. That'd be awesome, and we'll figure out some other ones. But well, let's get to our guests. We're gonna spend an hour or so with Audrey, and then we're gonna talk about the new Walking Dead season 3, which me and Michael are huge admirers of the show and the comics, and of course Michael's been on the show. So let's start off with Audrey. I guess, Audrey, tell us about how your alien origin story, so to speak. How did it all start? Was it from your childhood or your later years? Fill us in.
All right. Well, I have an identical twin sister, and since we were little kids in the crib, I mean, we remember having encounters, but, you know, 5 or 6 years old, it was a pretty regular thing. We grew up in a small town in Athens, Ohio, and when I say we're out in the middle of nowhere, I mean, there was nothing around. Our nearest neighbor was a mile or two down the road. You know, we're up on this nice hill, nothing but cows and forest as far as you can see, so it was pretty quiet out there, and we would get visits and be taken, you know, quite regularly, and we'd start talking about the bald men is what we called them when we were little, you know, and of course, you know, parents and friends would think it was cute, and we had active imaginations, and, you know, it must be the boogeyman, and, you know, they'd kind of, you know, tell us, of course, that there's no such thing, it's not happening, and, you know, we were pretty confused, but, you know, I was lucky and always had my sister there, so I've always had somebody to talk to about it and go through it with, where a lot of experiencers don't have that, they're alone, But, you know, we went through that all through our younger years. And, you know, in the beginning, it just seemed normal. We figured, you know, hey, everybody has visits from these guys at night, you know. Nobody told us any different until they started telling us that it was in our imaginations and it wasn't real, was when we started to kind of keep quiet about it, you know, keep journals and stuff. And my mom had found journals, I think my sister's journal at one point, and we'd draw pictures of the bald men, and, you know, she saw the gray being that we drew pictures of, and then Whitley Strieber's book came out, Communion, and she saw it in the grocery store and kind of put two and two together. So, you know, back in the 70s, there wasn't really a clear image of, you know, the gray alien, and this is something that really started to come about, you know, because of Whitley's book, and I think his book really helped a lot of people, you know, come to terms with, okay, you know, we're not alone, this guy's, and so forth. But, you know, it kind of followed us. We moved to Massachusetts when we were about 10 years old and moved to Bridgewater, Massachusetts, and, you know, the experiences and abductions kept up there. And, you know, kind of everywhere we've moved and lived throughout our lifetimes, you know, we've had experiences. They come and they abduct us. So, you know, for years as a teenager, I was just really, you know, in denial, and the fear was taking over, and I didn't want to think about it. And there was a point in my late teens, early 20s, where it was just happening so much that I had to reach out and see if there was somebody that could help me and my sister. So we started looking around. We found John Mack in Harvard, and he became a very hard person to get a hold of. So we discovered the Mutual UFO Network, or MUFON, and we ended up getting, you know, to have some help by them. And I went under my first hypnosis, and it was, I didn't know anything about it, you know. I never knew, you know, I didn't think it was going to work, quite frankly. And it was the most horrifying thing that I had ever gone through. But after that, it was, you know, I got so scared I didn't even want to go back, and kind of went back into that denial, was run from it, and fear. And it was even worse now because, you know, I had the memories of the detailed things that would happen to us on the spaceship. So, you know, I started having a lot of trouble with reproductive issues, with unexplained scarring and things like that. So it was, you know, a scary time in our lives. And then we happened upon a man that we had actually had an experience with and met on a StarCraft. We ran into him in a bar that my brother happened to be playing at, his band, and we looked at each other and we said, oh my God, you know, we saw each other on the spaceship. So obviously we walked over and started talking about it. And it turned out he worked very closely with Bud Hopkins. So he got my sister an appointment with Bud. I was still really just didn't want to deal with it, not going to get hypnotized to give with that type of thing. And, you know, the fear really controlled me for a long time. And, you know, back, I started Starborn Support in 2006. And a few years previous to that, I started to say, okay, I need to deal with this. I found the people that I originally had been hypnotized by and had help from, and did it again, and this time it was more enlightening. I had more of a calm attitude about it and just acceptance. And, you know, I worked on that for a while, and then I finally came to the point where, you know, I was good with this. You know, there's nothing I can do to stop it. Let's just, you know, move on. And I actually had an encounter where the beings took me and they told me that I was ready to start helping people, and they told me, you know, to start Starborn Support, and I did it the very next day in November of 2006. And, you know, they did visit my sister as well, and they, you know, gave her messages, really stating I'm going to do a lot and help people, and it was time for us to do that. And they had told my sister that, you know, we'd be ambassadors for this planet, you know, helping, and, you know, someday the world would know who Starborn Support is, and you know, I'm thinking, yeah, okay, you know, let's just do this. And you know, since 2006, really, we've helped so many people. I can't even keep track anymore from, you know, all over the world, not just the country. So it's really, really good to know that that I'm making a difference in so many people's lives. Like I said before, most people go through it alone, you know, and they never know who to talk to, and there really isn't a lot of help. And I know this from, you know, when I needed help, it took forever. You know, there was nothing out there. So now there is. You know, they can type it in. You know, the Internet's a great thing. You know, they want help with abduction. There we are. And, you know, they come to us now. So it's really, really rewarding. And it's been worth it. You know, the whole thing, all the ups and downs and the fears, you know, I thought, and now it's time to help others, you know, deal with their fear, you know.
Definitely, yeah, it reminds me of a story with me. It seems like a lot of your experiences are positive, and that's how mine have been. I mean, you might, I don't know if you've had any negative ones, but let me tell my story first shortly, and then I'll let you answer that. But I had an experience since my 20s. I've seen UFOs after being healed from cancer by chemotherapy, and after my dad. Death, and I've been healed from that for like 17 years, testicular cancer. But anywho, after that, my dad died, and after getting past that, I started to have UFO experiences, and I saw beings of light. I saw beings that were very serpentine-like, and I saw some beings that were standing around a black box with little cloaks on, like very small. And I opened up a forum. It was called Mabus Revolution, Mabus Revolution. I always say Mabus, Mabus from Nostradamus.
Nobody knows. I say Mabus too.
Yeah. No one knows what that really means. Everybody thinks it means something negative, but no one really knows what it means. But anywho, I've been playing around with that 19 years, and I opened up a forum to talk to other people, and that they helped me, like, kind of like your Starborn support. You know, I found other people who were talking about these subjects. And it helped me out a lot. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, I started doing these little chat room interviews where people would come to a chat room, and then someone like Stanton Friedman or Lloyd Pye would come, and it would be no audio, and it would be people would type questions to them, and then the guests would type answers back with no audio. It would just be like old school AOL chat room interviews, like back in the day. And anyway, what happened is I was having trouble getting interviews, and everyone was ignoring me. And I had a UFO sighting around December, and my brother and nephew saw it, and they looked like fireflies. That's the best way to describe it, like giant red fireflies in the sky. And it was like they knew we saw them. And it was like when we saw them, it was like they interacted with us and stopped and knew that we saw them. And I had said a prayer to get more interviews. And after that ghost sighting, the next thing you know, I'm on the phone with Stan Romanek, with Stanton Friedman, Nick Pope, Lloyd Pye. I started getting all these interviews, like it was magic. It was like they were helping me. And that's why I can relate to your story some. I think that's what they want. They helped me with that, and they knew that. So they gave me that sighting, and then they kind of gave me, like, this buzz to where suddenly I couldn't get interviews, and the next thing you know, I'm talking on the phone with Stan Friedman for 2 hours, you know?
Yeah, it's strange how things work, but it all is, it's almost like it's choreographed, you know? Like you said, that was, like, your sign, and it just happened. I mean, things just seem to fall in place, I think, when we're doing what we're supposed to do. You know, it's almost like we have a mission here, and this is it, and once we get on that right track, it seems to just, you know, unfold on its own, and everything, you know, falls into place.
Now, I'm probably going to ask a lot of naive questions, because I'm very new to this topic, but do you think it's a random selection with these folks, or do you think that there's something that is sensed in people?
Through my research, actually, most cases, it seems that the phenomenon goes back through generations in the family. So I think it's got something to do with a bloodline thing in most cases. You know, I'm not saying all, but most times there, you know, seems to be you know, the grandmother, the great grandmother, and it goes back. I mean, there's somebody that's, you know, really well known in the field, and, you know, he's in his 80s now, and it goes back to his great great grandmother. So that's like 400 years, you know. So the problem is a lot of people just don't talk about it. So this is also in almost a movement to show people that it's okay to talk about, you know, and that, you know, it's the truth. People need to get educated by it. Skeptics will be there, non-believers will be there, but I think deep inside they're the ones that believe the most. You know, that's why they're so against it, because they're so afraid. So, you know, it's the education and to make it okay to talk about. So, you know, in the past it's been so taboo, and, you know, we saw what happened to Barney Hill, you know, thrown to the wolves, and, you know, people were just all over it. And, you know, I'm sure Travis Walton had a lot of that. And, you know, back in the day, it was just something that people didn't feel comfortable about. We're doing this movement, and with Experiencers Speak, we did our first one last year. And our conference is a little different than most. We have the majority of speakers are experiencers, and then we have two or three researchers. Usually it's all the researchers and the experts and maybe, you know, Travis Walton and Christopher Bledsoe are a couple of experiencers, but we wanted to show the world that there's more to this and there's a great number of people. Now, when we did this, there were several people that came out for the first time who had been in the field for a long, long time, never admitted it, keeping it secret for 30 years. And they felt comfortable enough to finally admit it. And at one point, we asked the audience, not who was an experiencer, but we asked who wasn't an experiencer. There was about 175 to 200 people there, and only 8 people raised their hands were experiencers. So it worked. You know, we attracted them. They came. They sat. They saw it was okay. Many of them were just, you know, excited to finally talk about their experiences. And I had email after email after it was over thanking me for showing them that it's okay to talk about, that they're not alone, there's more people, and, you know, to give them the right connections, and just the sense that they're not alone is so important. Most of these people have kept these secrets inside them, which is this huge thing, you know, the biggest thing to ever happen to mankind, and they can't talk about it. So it's really frustrating, and, you know, they don't have anybody to talk to, and if they do, you know, people, you know, laugh and say it's not real, or just are simply so scared of it they don't want anything to do with it. So to be there for them, to call in the middle of the night when they've been traumatized or just brought back from experience, or to pick up their phone and say, hey, you know, I need to talk about this, and to have somebody on the other end that understands, that knows what they're talking about, and most of all, believes. So it's so important. That's the first step, is to start talking about it and start, you know, get out of that denial phase and get out of that let's care about what everybody thinks, because, you know, they shouldn't. They should care about the truth, and who cares what everybody thinks, because this is very real, and the world needs to know. And just the numbers alone, if all the experiences would just say, hey, it happened to me, then the numbers alone would speak volumes, and it would be impossible to deny anymore. So that's what we're, you know, trying to do. Done a lot of work just on this, and the conference last year was such a success that, you know, Peter Robbins was there, and he was just blown away, and he said, you know, this is wonderful. I've never seen anything like this. So he is on the board. He's going to be the master of ceremonies this year. He's just an amazing, amazing man. And we've got a lot of great people, and it's just going to be such an amazing time being the second one. And it will, you know, happen every year, you know, assuming everything, you know, goes okay. But I think every year it's going to grow and just get more powerful. The energy alone with all those people together is just, you know, worth witnessing. So it's just, an amazing thing, and I'm proud to have done that, you know. And it was almost, like I said, I just did the footwork, you know. It's like I had help. So it's amazing the way things turn out when you're doing what you're supposed to do.
Definitely, and I interviewed you about an examiner, and it's definitely seemed like a great thing. And the second one, who's going to be some of the guests at the second one, or who are the guests?
We're doing it for a weekend this time in a hotel, so we can all kind of stay together. And let's see, it's on September 6th, 7th, and 8th. The 6th will be a meet-and-greet dinner with people that buy the VIP packages. So if they buy the package for two, it includes hotel rooms and a dinner with everybody where they can sit with the speakers and talk and, you know, front row seating. And then the 7th and the 8th will be the actual conference day. And we've got Travis Walton, which is one of the witnesses from Travis Walton case, Kathy Martin, Peter Robbins, Stanton Friedman, Christopher Bledsoe Sr. He's from the Fayetteville incident. He's working on a huge movie right now and a book. Suzanne Chancellor, Chris Augustin, and just, you know, so many great people. There's several that were there last year. Pamela Nesserato Lafredo, she's from around here, and she's just got an amazing story. Todd Sheldon, Jack and Nancy Malataria have written a book about their communications with the extraterrestrials. And Bella Smith, she's just wonderful. She's, you know, been with Starborn Support and one of our biggest, you know, followers, and just the greatest woman. She's been there, you know, through everything since we started. Terrell Copeland, he's was on UFO Hunters, and just, you know, so many awesome people. And we're trying to fit the schedule so we can have audience participation maybe for an hour and have people come up and talk about their own experiences, because last year we found that so many people wanted to do that and we just didn't have the time. So we're hoping that, you know, we can get that in and just say, you know, if you have something to say, come on up, you know. And of course we'll have the panel discussion, and it'll just be a great weekend with a lot of great knowledge. Kathy Martin will have her new book. She actually gave her new speech last year at our conference about the commonalities of alien abductees last year, and it was just great. So she's just an amazing woman too, and she actually helps me with my personal case, because, you know, I'm still experiencing things. I still need help, you know. So
yeah.
She's Michael, her and Peter, and we've got Michael Austin Melton, who Peter Robbins set us up with. He's also going to be speaking, and he started Starborn Support in Pennsylvania, and he's starting the Starborn Support Radio, and we've just, you know, we've expanded quite a bit with our support meetings. You know, we're having a lot of meetings that, you know, are growing rather quickly, so that's a big thing, too, is, you know, to have the monthly meeting where everybody can just come, be together with each other and talk, you know. So if you have a traumatic event, you just have to wait a couple weeks and go talk about it, you know. And that's so important, because people stuff this stuff. And there's a lot of negative stuff too, you know. There's a trauma factor. They're coming in, they're being invasive, intrusive, they're, you know, doing medical things that you really affects you. You know, I went through a very, very traumatic experience just January 16th, where I almost bled to death and died when they dropped me off. So, I mean, it's just, that hit me like a freight train, and I'm still dealing with that. But it's something that I can deal with, you know, because of our group and because of all the support that I have. You know, you asked if it was all good. It's not all, you know. There is the invasiveness. And the medical procedures, obviously. I don't know if you saw Alien Encounters that was on A&E. That's a new episode. It's a new series that I did the pilot of. Me and Whitley Strieber did it. And it will be airing again on the Bio Channel. The Bio Channel is going to be where this series remains on April 6th. And it was really... Yeah, it was really intense. You know, they did a lot of the reenactments and a lot of the negative stuff they kind of brought to light, because, of course, that's the Hollywood stuff, you know. So I'm on the exam table, seeing my eye get removed and things like that. It was really intense. So a lot of the people that were close to me really had a hard time with that and were just traumatized. And they would call, and I, you know, talk them through it, say, look, you know, it's okay. Knowing that inside, that some of the things that they still have stuffed, because it's all part of it. That does happen. You know, and the reproductive removal of eggs and intrusion like that, it does happen. The hybrid program is real. So that was all part of that show. And like I said, it'll be on again on April 6th. And,
Go ahead. I have a question.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Do you feel, like I've had a lot of UFO encounters to where I see the actual UFO, and I've seen them with more witnesses, and they've been, it's been a while since I've seen one, since like last year, but they're always like definitely around my house or, treetop level, and that's all I remember. And I always remember, I never remember anything else but just seeing the UFO. And right. I've always wondered if I've been taken level. Go ahead.
Have you noticed missing time during that episode?
Like, my missing time or something?
Yeah, like, say you saw it about 11 o'clock, and the next thing you remember, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, and you don't know what happened, that type of thing.
Not specifically, but it's weird. It's like there's a block there, but I don't, it kind of seems like no time passed at all. Like,
right.
I just see it, and then nothing like that happened. But my question is, I've heard that females remember more than males when they are taken. Is that true in your experience?
I don't know. You know, that's a good question. I haven't really looked into that, and it depends. A lot of people don't remember anything until hypnosis, but, you know, obviously they remember enough to seek hypnosis, you know, so that's a really good question. And the thing is, a lot of people that don't remember, it's simply because of the fear element. Because the beings that come, they're completely telepathic, and fear is not good. If they're the guys that have a, you know, bad agenda, and they're not, you know, there for anything, you know, that's going to be spiritual or memorable, then they feed off the fear. The other ones are telepathic, so they actually get hurt by it. So when you get past the fear, which is the hardest thing to do. I mean, I still struggle with it. It's something that it's just such a strange thing when they come, because not only do they look different, but they feel different. Their energies are different, and everything around you is just different. So it's such a scary thing to the human psyche. So it's really hard, because that fight or flight instinct kicks right in. And so when you get past that, and as you learn to say, okay, I'm not going to be scared, even if you fake it until you make it, you know, I'm not scared, just keep saying it, even if you're scared shitless, then, you know, it becomes a more enlightening and spiritual experience where you can actually interact with them and, you know, possibly get answers to questions and remember more. So depending on your fear level, I find that, you know, the less fear, the more you tend to remember. And in most cases, it's just, you know, that fear is just way too much to deal with, especially when you haven't been openly addressing these issues and dealing with it and getting past that denial, because a lot of people are just like, I'm crazy, this really isn't happening, and at the same time, you know, scared to death because it is, and just the denial really is a bad thing, because they need to accept that it's happening. They need to just kind of roll with it, because there's nothing you can do about it, you know? So the more of a positive outlook you have, even if it's the worst thing ever, you know, it really does help. And, you know, it makes it easier for all involved, I think.
Well, yeah, with my experiences, I became a hermit for a long time, for years. I wouldn't leave my house, and I've been diagnosed with PTSD, and mild agoraphobia. I'm not full-blown agoraphobia, but I battle with it. Like, I can go places, but I don't like to at all. Mm-hmm. And it's always been a big problem with relationships. Like, I'll go places, like, but to go to Walmart for me is just, like, I don't even like it. But the fear thing,
I don't think you're alone there, buddy.
Yeah, I don't think anybody likes to be for Walmart. But there's definitely, I think there's some things blocked with me that need to be worked out, because I've seen the ships over the house, and I have seen beings, like I said, but I don't remember anything. It's like I don't remember anything, but just like a glimpse, like a quick glimpse. That's all I remember. So there's definitely something going on.
Right, and then that's what a lot of people deal with, is that they know something's going on, but they don't remember. But, you know, that's intentional. And, you know, like I said on the Alien Encounters show, it was, some things are just not meant to be remembered because of the human psyche, and because we're so fragile, a lot of the things that take place do lead to trauma and post-traumatic stress and you know, things like that. So, you know, it's really, really traumatizing in many different ways. So the fact that they, you know, take away all memories is, you know, a good thing in most cases. Now, a lot of people jump to hypnosis, which hypnosis is a wonderful tool. I'm actually, you know, certified to do it. And I don't believe in doing it right away. I work with people at least a year before we do it, and make sure that they're ready to see it and what they possibly could see. You know, a lot of these people are like, yeah, let's, you know, I want to remember, let's go, like myself. You know, I jumped in that chair, gung-ho, not even thinking twice, and it brought back some really scary stuff that kept me, you know, running in fear and denial for a good 10, 12 years afterwards, you know. So it is something that, when you do seek hypnosis, you need somebody that is trained and works with alien abductees, and somebody that will be there after that first session. Not somebody that's just seeking for information for their own research and that says, you know, thanks, we opened up that can of worms, we're gonna leave now. You know, which a lot of these groups do. They're looking for that hard evidence that helps them, and they walk away from the experience or not realizing that they just devastated their whole lives and not there to back it up afterwards. So it's really important. You know, we have therapists in our group that, you know, are specifically dealing with that. You know, Michael Melton is a post-traumatic stress expert, and we have Ann Channing, who is a clinical social worker that, you know, is just amazing, and she's been doing this for quite some time now. So, you know, one of our qualities and specifications when a group starts, like we're starting to expand and have different states, but, you know, we have to have at least one experiencer on the team and, you know, at least one therapist that will be there to help, you know, so that it's so important. So important that people have follow-up and counseling, and somebody that isn't going to dismiss them as a lunatic and put them on meds to make them into zombies. You know, it's not the way we work.
I'd like to talk to some of them. That's like, I have anger issues, nothing violent. Like, I'm not a violent person. My mouth, man, that would get me in big trouble. And I do believe it's connected to what I've been through on some level. Michael sounds like he'd be interesting to talk to you about the PTSD.
I'll let him know that you're interested, and I will definitely give you his number, and he's available 24/7, man. You can call him anytime, and that's what he's there for. You know, he's wonderful, so I will definitely hook you up with him.
My thing about extraterrestrials and alien phenomenon, it's always this riddle stuff. That's what, it's so fresh, like you're Batman and you're having to deal with the Riddler. Riddle me this! It's everything's so just a riddle.
It's so true, and I'm so sick of that. Like, it was the day before the meteor hit Russia, I got a message that said, watch out for the shiny ones, the shiny four. And that was it. You know, that's all they said. They don't tell me anything else. And, you know, there's certain times where I've actually asked them, like I've been in classrooms on these ships and learning stuff. And I asked them, you know, what's the point of learning all this stuff if we just forget? And they told me that everything we need to know is inside us, and it's laying dormant until, you know, it gets activated, and we'll know exactly the time and what to do with the information being stored. But if you ask them direct questions, they say that's something you need to find out on your own, and it is like riddles. And that's so funny that you said that, because I was laughing about that with Kathy the other day with the riddles. You know, they dance around the answers and give you these riddles. I still haven't figured out what the shiny four are yet, you know, but I think when it happens, I'll know. So, the riddles are too much.
It's definitely riddled me this. Michael, you got any questions?
No, I've just been really intrigued just listening, honestly. I wouldn't even know who to ask.
Yeah, it's amazing because of... It affects more people than you have any clue that it affects. You know, it's just so widespread. And that's we're trying to get more people, you know, just the numbers alone, like I said. It's estimated that 60,000 people out of every million have been abducted, you know, and that's the statistics. So it's just, that's a lot of people, you know. That's like 6%. So it's crazy.
Are there any films, and I really ask both of you guys this question, are there any films out there that have come the closest?
There was a really good mini-series that Steven Spielberg did that was called Taken, and that was really good. There's also so much new shows that are coming. I mean, I know just because of the offers that I've had to turn down like 13 offers for TV series that are starting about this. It's like an awakening. All of a sudden, everybody wants to do this, but I'm actually under contract doing something else. So I use, but just the, I mean, even Animal Planet is doing one. VH1 is doing one. MTV, they're all doing them so that the shows are on their way. Yeah, and then we've got the one that I just did, which was Alien Encounters, which is just starting. And it's going to be, I think, a really good one. They really did a good job.
I need to ask you about that privately. I might need to get involved with that, especially if they consider it like a job. Do they do it like a job? Like, is there pay and fly you out, or you got to pay for all the stuff?
They do take care of all expenses and give you some compensation. Yeah. I have so many different, you know, like I said, there's so many different people doing it. And I mean, I've had people from Britain contact me, and just every, you know, everybody that you can imagine. There's just like, we're doing this alien thing, you know, we're doing this alien thing. And it's like, oh my God, all of a sudden it's like they all got a memo. It's time to tell the truth, you know, it's so cool. It's great.
Yeah, that would be great for me. I'm going through financial turmoil right now. If I could hook up with some of that, damn, that'd be great. That'd just be wonderful. Do some shit, get paid, tell my story at time, and I consider my story a shamanic death. I'm real big into shamanism. I don't go around saying, oh, I'm a shaman and all that, but I do believe that there's a connection with me in that, and it was a shamanic death. Because first off, I had cancer, I got healed, my dad died, a divorce, all of this stuff. And I started reading spiritual and occult stuff. I didn't practice occult stuff, but I read everything I could get my hands on, and I opened up doorways, and I always say I saw what mortal eyes were not meant to see, apparently, and that's how it all started. But hey, we got 2 minutes till break. Let's get your links, and then we'll take a few more minutes, and then we'll let you go and get to Michael. We're going to talk about The Walking Dead. But let's get your links, and then we're going to take a break, and we'll come back for a few more minutes with you, and then we'll me and Michael are going to discuss zombies. So,
all right. Well, our Starborn Support website is starbornsupport.com, and we have an Experiencers Speak website where you can purchase tickets for the conference, and we're working on the schedule now, so we'll have some more info. And that's at experiencerspeak.yolasite.com, and of course we have our facebook.com experiencerspeak web page as well as a Starborn support page. So we are on Facebook, and the Experiencers Peak, you know, pretty much if you Google it, you can get all kinds of information too, the same as Starborn support.
So that's experiencerspeak.yolasite.com.
Yep, and YOLA site.
And starbornsupport.com.
Yes.
All right, everybody, you definitely check it out. This is a good, good conference, and a lot of great people there, and
a lot of support. I don't know if I said that. It'll be in Portland, Maine, the conference on September 6th, 7th, and 8th.
All righty. All right, everybody, make sure you stop by churchofmavisradio.com, and we'll be back in 8 to 10 minutes. Thanks for listening, and you're listening to UFO Paranormal Radio Network.
Everything must change. Tune in to UFO Undercover, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, with your host, Joe Montaldo. Right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, the world needs to hear the truth.
Welcome back to the Church of Mavis Radio Show. Our guest is Audrey Starborn, and we're discussing her alien abduction experiences and Starborn support and Experiencers Speak too. Apparently, this is the second time this has happened at churchofmavisradio.com. For some reason, in that chat room, when you go there and you try to listen to the show, it keeps messing up, and they can't hear the show from the website, so I'll have to get my webmasters to see what's going on with that, because right now we're on PalTalk, and it's loaded with people, and everybody can hear fine, so I'm not sure what's going on with that. I'll have to talk to them and see if maybe Joe has some ideas, but for some reason at the chat room, it's not broadcasting correctly. So I don't know why. There's also a chat room on PalTalk. Maybe I should set it up so it'll just direct them to the PalTalk chat room next time. We're going to be giving
the
them changes.
What's the link for that, Jeff?
Yeah.
Well, the PalTalk chat room is it's on. You got to download the PalTalk Messenger, and it's.
I thought it was just a link. I was, because people are asking me the same thing on Facebook about sound.
Well, yeah, just tell them that shortly after midnight, I'll have the archive up, and they can just come back and listen to it and hit play.
Yeah, I'm going to tell them that. Yeah, that's a good idea.
and I'm going to figure out what, because that's the second time that's happened, and it just started doing it for some reason on the last two shows, so I don't know what happened, but it's annoying. Not it's so that Mercury Saturn retrograde crap. Is that over with yet? My God.
Yeah, just send me the archive, and I'll just send
when it's finished. I guess I want to ask you one more question, and I'll let you depart, and me and Michael will discuss The Walking Dead. So what's your view? I've had some reptilian experiences. I was messing with the occult on Halloween night, partying with a bunch of friends, and there was some definite, this is when I was in my early 20s, back in my crazier days, and we were experimenting with drugs, and I saw reptilians, and I'll never forget them ever in my entire life, and they were definitely multidimensional, and they telepathically spoke to me, and it was weird because here are these strange, weird creatures that look like nothing I've ever seen before, ever, and the closest thing that I've seen that they look like are from, like, Mayan pictures of Mayan gods. That's sure. The closest that I could come to describing them, and
there's many, you know, different looking ones, you know. Then there's the ones that look like the flea stags from Land of the Lost, you know. I mean, that was pretty close, but it's hard to say about them. And I've had some negative experiences when they're around, but it's really hard to say. And I think that beings of, you know, the same race can have different attitudes towards things just like we do, you know, so they all feel differently and have different ideas. But, you know, most of the people that deal with them, it's always a more intense experience. I hate to say more brutal, but, you know, more traumatic, I guess. And the fact that some of them are like 12, 15 feet tall is one of those things that you can't forget, and they're just pure intimidating looking at them. So, you know, that almost scare you, and their energies are so different, and they can actually feel the energy, and it's emotionally confusing and almost painful, the energy that emanates off some of these beings. So, being so completely different than anything from Earth, and of course the multidimensional aspect is always there too, you know, the way they seem to come and go, and the portals and stuff. So yeah, you're right about the multidimensional. I think a lot of these beings, if not all, are multidimensional. So it's just one of those things, you know, people say, you know, oh, just because we can't build a ship and travel all those miles to get to a different planet doesn't mean they can't, you know? I mean, obviously, they're way more advanced than us. They have the technology, and who knows, they have the portals down and can jump, you know? And they may be in a parallel dimension that's, like, right next door, and you just have to find the door to it, so...
And it was weird because they were saying things like, I love you, and write and sing, and I'm like, what in the hell? I thought they were falling out from Georgia. My dad was a Baptist preacher. I was like, oh, my God, it's the devil.
Yeah, and that's what most people compare them to is of course, demons and stuff, you know, because they are so completely, but, you know, people don't understand them and can't obviously relate to them, and everything that they've learned is, you know, things that are different you have to fear. And, of course, most of them have been brainwashed by one religion or the other to tell you that these things, you know, you're going to go to hell and this is a demon and things like that. So it doesn't help when you've been sufficiently brainwashed all your life, you know, to deal with these things.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's well, mind. You might sleep clean and just start over with your belief system when this kind of thing happens.
And then I've read stories that I think Ken Bateman that some of these reptilians, they'll make you feel like you're having the time of your life, but in truth they're manipulating you. They'll make you feel like you're happy and like in La La Land, when in fact they're manipulating you on some level.
Right, and you know, in a way, all these things do. That's the false memories that they create, and you know, I've got different theories about that, but my main one is, if they're so mean and so malevolent, then we care enough to erase the traumatic memories, tuck you back in bed most times. You know what I mean? They would just come in, mess up your world, and not care. So, you know, that always, in a way, comforts me. But, you know, a lot of people are on the spacecraft, but they believe they're in, you know, their house or in a mall or someplace that's comfortable for them. Because if they realize that, hey, I'm on a spaceship and there's a bunch of aliens around me, you know, that's really something that most people just can't deal with. And the human mind, like I said before, is a very fragile thing. So,
yeah. Well, Audrey, it's been a pleasure having you on the show, and if you can, give out your links one more time, because I want to make sure everybody gets them, and then we'll let you depart, and then me and Michael will have our little chit-chat.
Right, yeah, we've got StarbornSupport.com website, which has all our contact information, and as well as a checklist for, you know, if you've had experiences. We've got like a 58-question checklist, so you can go on just to answer the questions. Experiencers Speak, we have the Facebook page as well as Starborn Support, and then we've got the experiencersspeak.yolasite.com.
All righty, well, we appreciate you being on and want to get you back sometime, and good luck with your convention, and it's been a pleasure. Yep. So.
No problem.
Thank
I will send you Michael's information too. I've already sent you his Facebook page, so I'll give you his number later.
Okay, and as soon as I have the archive up, I'll give it to you so you can give it to them, because they got to figure out there's some kind of tech trouble that's happened the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, too bad, but, you know, yeah, we'll get that archive out, and they'll be happy.
Alrighty. All right, have a good night.
Thank you. Have a great night.
Take it easy.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Alrighty. Yeah, I'm not sure what that is. It's weird, because we're in the Pal Talk chat room, and it's on the same servers, as far as I know, that the Church of Mavis Radio Show servers are on, for some reason, in that chat room. It's not letting people listen, so I'm either going to have to try to fix it or make a way to where it'll direct them to this chat room to listen. I'll figure it out. I got to do some, me and my webmasters have to do some stuff to the site anyway to do some upgrades. And all that good stuff. Because I'm not a webmaster, that's for sure. I don't know anything about that crap. But so what's going on with Walking Dead? When's your next hero zombie appearance?
Tomorrow night, man. Yeah, tomorrow night's my actually my last appearance on the show for season 3. So it's kind of it's kind of sad, but it's one of my hardest, actually, no, it was my hardest day on set, period, as far as physically. And you guys will see tomorrow exactly what I'm talking about. But, yeah, it's coming down to the wire. I mean, 2 more episodes. So can't believe that the season's flown by so quickly.
So you don't know if you're going to be on season 4 or not?
They haven't started any pre-production for season 4 just yet. Cameras start rolling May 6th, from what I understand, and usually we're contacted a couple of weeks prior to that. But we're all in the dark. They never let us know, really, if we're ever coming back. We just kind of get the call, like Batman. When we see the bat symbol.
So down to 2 shows now, right?
Yeah, and it's really, really getting intense now. And, you know, I tell you, the fans are just so intense and so committed to this show and are so passionate about the show. But if you've noticed, a lot of people will claim that there are some episodes that are a little slow, you know, maybe not so zombie heavy, you know what I'm saying? It was, you know, hack and slash the whole episode. But, you know, I just want to remind fans that, you know, these slower episodes are usually feeding you so much information, crucial information, you know, that they're just not as action-packed, but the information that you're looking for is there, Like the whole interaction with the governor was, I loved that whole episode. And it was just the governor and Rick. And
yeah.
A lot of people are like, you know, well, you know, it was slow and it was boring and it was, you know.
I mean, what do they want? Like completely just a whole show where everyone's killing zombies 24/7?
Exactly. I'll hand them Call of Duty and they can play Nazi zombies until, you know. You know.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be foreplay, you know, before the act.
You know, they said the same thing about season two. You know, season two was so slow and it took forever to find Sophia. But, you know, honestly, like I said, I may have mentioned this last time, season two was character development. You know, season three,
yeah.
You wouldn't be nearly as invested in season three if season two wasn't as slow and character driven as it was.
A lot of critics are assholes. I mean, that's the truth.
That's very
I mean,
true.
They really are.
Well, they lost touch of what their job is. A critic's real job, and you know, I experience this on my show all the time. You know, when I review a horror film, I won't say never. I will say very rarely will you see me bashing a horror film. My job as a reviewer and a critic is to steer that movie to the right audience. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? To
yeah.
help that movie find the right audience. It's not to bash, and it's not to put my personal opinions out there and, you know, rip these independent horror films to shreds. It's to help find the audience. And I think a lot of critics have kind of lost touch with that. And nobody wants to read good reviews anymore. They just want to read all the bad stuff you have to say about people, and it's just everything's so negative now, and it's just...
I think it's other companies sending their own people that work for them going to other companies to trash the movies.
I would be
trying to, and I think it's the same way with video games and movies and other stuff and books.
I wouldn't be surprised. I really wouldn't. I mean, there's a lot of crookedness out there that goes on in this business.
Yeah, I think. I mean, I could see some horror company, production company, who's competing with another one, sending a group of people to trash the movie so it doesn't do good. Because, I mean, look at video games. For instance, Walking Dead Instinct Survival Instinct. I haven't played it yet, but, what I've read about it, they're trashing it. And I have to admit, what I've seen of it, it makes me hesitant to purchase it until it goes down some of price. But I probably will just because I love The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, what about it? They're just freaking ripping it to shreds, man.
But you know, they were doing that 2 months prior to the game's release. You know, so they already set it up to fail. You know, they said it was too rushed. It was coming out too early. And then, you know, the graphics aren't all that great. And just ripping it apart. But in all honesty, it's made for the fans of the show. If you're a fan of The Walking Dead, you're going to enjoy Survival Instincts. If you're a hardcore gamer who plays, you know, Call of Duty 12 hours of the day, you'll probably have issues with it. But to just flat out say it sucks across the board is completely just, it's just not beneficial to anybody to say that. Steer the game for the right audience. And if you're a fan of the show, you'll enjoy playing it. It might not be a purchase, it might be a rental, but, you know, still, you'll get your fun out of it.
You've enjoyed it. How do you feel about it?
I enjoy it. I think it's pretty good. You know, all the Daryl Dixon lovers out there, which are, you know, in the multi-millions, you know, they'll eat it up.
Yeah.
You know, you're playing Daryl Dixon, for crying out loud. You know, you and Merle traipsing across the state. You know, this is just prior to them meeting up with the group. So, I mean, it's a good game. I wasn't expecting a Skyrim, you know, open world, you know, huge freaking map, you know, I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't going into this with high expectations, as I usually don't do with a lot of games, because, you know, expectation is the first step towards disappointment. If you go into something with no expectations, you'll never be disappointed. You know, so I mean, I enjoy it.
I'm going to get it eventually. My problem with games is money. I don't have, it's hard for me to buy
games. That's, you know, that's going to be your problem, definitely. That's why they got the Red Boxes out there now, and, you know, unfortunately they're shutting down my Blockbuster down the street, which, you know, is killing me because I was, like, probably the only one keeping them in business, to be honest with you, but... So yeah, we're on GameFly now, which is okay. I'm not a huge fan of the whole through the mail thing. I never really was, but you know, it's kind of our only option right now with GameFly. But you know, the kids enjoy playing it. You know, I've got a couple of hours out of it, and I'll probably get a few more. And you know, are there bugs? Are there issues? Are there things they could have done to make it better? Absolutely. But I could say that about every single game that's ever come out. Period.
Exactly. They're trashing the new God of War. Not as bad as Walking Dead, but they're trashing God of War Ascension.
Yeah, well, you know, people are more prone, again, to read a negative review than they are a positive one. Period. It's just statistics. You know, people want a train wreck. People love a train wreck. So, you know, any opportunity for them to read about something in a negative light, you know, it just seems that people are all over it. It's just very, very disappointing that that's kind of where we're at now.
I'm ready for Telltale.
Next one is going to be, it's going to be another good one, I think. I really do. And I think that they, you know, they could very well even come out with another Walking Dead game, you know, along the lines. You know, this show doesn't show any signs of slowing down anytime soon. So, you know, the market potential for this is through the roof, as you can see. I mean, merchandise-wise, I mean, you've got everything from dog tags to T-shirts to plush stuffed animals to, I mean, bobbleheads, I mean, anything and everything you can imagine, they've got up.
Well, yeah, I think the only other show I've been in really, there's a few shows I've been invested in, too, but I don't think I've ever been as invested as Walking Dead. Dexter's one, but I'm not, emotionally, for some reason, I'm more into Walking Dead because Dexter's old serial killer. You can't get that much invested in a cold serial killer, you know?
Well, let me ask you, Jeffrey, what draws you to The Walking Dead? What is it about that show that really does it for you?
The survivalism.
Yeah.
The way, you know, it's the end of the world, there's the walkers and just the survival instinct of it and having to, you know, get by. Having to survive.
That was the whole premise of Kirkman creating the comic book to begin with, was, you know, no zombie movie had ever hinted or touched on the long-term effects. You know, it's always been an immediate reaction, you know, and then you go through, like, the first day or first couple days, and then everybody eventually gets killed off, and there's one or two survivors. But, you know, nobody ever really explored a long-term plan in a zombie apocalypse, which, again, is, I think, very unique about this show. What I do think sucks is the fact that, you know, Kirkman is so tight-lipped and doesn't even want to talk about the origins. How did this happen? He has absolutely no interest in even hinting on that, and he said that in numerous interviews. In fact, he joked in one and said it was aliens. So that's kind of Kirkman's stance on that topic right now. But, you know, that's another thing I'd like to see in a movie. I'm hoping World War Z will kind of...
Beyond Exile by J.L. Bourne. It's a pretty cool zombie book series. Shattered Hourglass, and I forget what they're called, but it's by J.L. Bourne. And that's what it is. It comes from an alien that the Chinese got a hold of, and it spread the plague. So that's been done before, but it wouldn't surprise me. I think they just like the idea of not knowing where it originated from, but maybe one day they'll do a prequel to it or something when they run out of stuff to write. They'll have to.
Yeah, I would hope so. I mean, I think we're ready to start seeing some more flashbacks on The Walking Dead. I actually really enjoyed the flashback with Michonne and Andrea that we got to see last episode. I really enjoyed that, and I hope that they do more of that kind of going back and maybe even prior to the outbreak at this point. You know, they've lost so much. Go back and I put this out to the world. Somebody make a freaking zombie movie that starts with the origin, with the breakout. I want to see the chaos. I want to see how it starts. I want to see all of that from the beginning. Please.
Yeah.
Somebody direct that.
George Romero's done that a couple of times, hasn't he? But not in great detail.
Not in great detail. I mean, they'll hint, you know, at something, but like, you know, I mean, maybe the Crazies did it. I think, kinda sorta, but I mean, I would love to see something a little more in depth, but along the same lines of the Crazies. And if there's something that's out there, I mean, and you know of it, please let me know, suggest it to me, because, I mean, I would love to see.
I don't think there is. I know I just read some article where these dumbass scientists are really trying to make the zombie virus.
That's awesome, because that's exactly what we should be wasting money on, is trying to create.
Yeah, I know.
What purpose is that, honestly, other than evil? It's like,
it's a
no-brainer.
A true story, these idiot scientists are really, they made the zombie virus. I mean, what the heck, man?
Yeah,
well,
actually, man, we are going to be responsible for our own demise in the end, ultimately. I firmly believe that. So, you know, if there is a zombie virus, by God, we will create it. If it's a drug, we will put it out there, you know. And that's honestly what I think is the scariest thing, are these drugs that are coming out now that are literally making you almost virtually unstoppable. I mean, you know, PCP has always been around and it's always, you know, created, you know, the superhuman strength, all that kind of thing. But like, I mean, you got dudes eating people's faces now, man. I mean, that's borderline chaos. I mean, you know, and if they can put that in, instill that in desire and drive in a human being, it's so scary. I mean, what's stopping them from putting stuff like that into drinking water? And it's like, oh, it's just, you know, when you get the paranoia starts creeping in and you start thinking about all the that could happen, and oh my God, it's just so scary.
Between all the money we spend on war crap and all the money we spend on stupid events like, you know, virus and the birth flu, on Earth with all this money, people are idiots. They're morons.
Yeah, dude. Well, I mean, it's all scare tactics, man. That's all the media is nowadays. It's all, you know, what's the next big thing to be afraid of? Killer bees. You know, they were talking about a damn mutated mosquito that might be invading Florida sometime. It's like, really? Are you serious? It's like, it's almost comical, some of the things that these news stations conjure up and put out there for us to fear and be afraid of, and, you know, coming up, you know, exclusively at 5, you know, and all these glitz and glam and loud noises and all of it. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I can't tell you the last time I actually turned on the news and watched the
news. Yeah, I watch it. I try to watch it. Hey, just to keep up with like war news and stuff. That's the only reason I want to watch it all the time.
Well, if there's like a serious crisis going on, it's good to follow up and it's good to stay in tune with that. But even then, you know, it's like, well, what's the truth? And you know, I think media has lost all integrity at this point.
Yeah.
Honestly. They really, really have. I mean, I'll give you the Sandy Hook incident. How long did it take after that incident for the conspiracy theories to start popping up, and the web pages and all this and that? It's habitual at this point that we don't trust any of these people anymore. You know,
Sandy Hook came out was disgusting. Disgusting. Just the stuff people made up about them being actors and all that was just sickening.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, we're all just in this frenzied state now. And, you know, it's just, it's very, very strange and very creepy. And then you've got North Korea. And, my God, the stuff that's going on in North Korea now and the, you know, the pissing match that they're having with us. And, oh, man, dude.
I don't think
very far from an apocalypse, dude. I really, really do.
Yeah. I think North Korea is full of it. They're like a big fat baby that's just crying all the time that's not going to do anything. But they might surprise us. You
they
never
could
know.
Be a significant threat, though. They're one of the few people that could literally be, I mean, a significant threat if they wanted to be, you know?
Yeah. All right, well, so what can you tell us about The Walking Dead?
What can I tell you about The Walking Dead? That won't get me arrested and sued and thrown in jail by AMC?
Was Michonne and Audrey, did they have a lesbian relationship ever?
What's that?
Michonne
and Andrea?
They were getting kind of close.
That's debatable, I suppose. You know, Andrea does tend to get around a little bit. But, you know, I don't know that sex is illegal in a zombie apocalypse, so Andrea's just trying to get her own, you know. She's got a bad rap, I think. I really think Andrea's got a bad rap. I've been a fan of her.
A lot of people hate her.
I know.
Yeah,
but what's the deal? Like, she's grown the most. She's gone from a suicidal, fickle, just very, very frail woman to this leader who's trying to bring these two groups together and to negotiate and to talk things out. And it's like she's done the best job out of everybody on that show of surviving. I mean, she found a library, she found a place where she felt safe. She had no idea who the governor was. She didn't know what he was for. Yeah, you know, and she's
one of the hottest chicks on the show.
I mean, yeah, and can you imagine how hard it's got to be to get laid in a zombie apocalypse? And she's done it, what?
I know.
Twice already? she's got it going on.
Her and that Maggie chick are the hottest chicks on the show, I think.
I've definitely had a crush on Lori Holden ever since The Mist, to be honest with you. I thought she was in Silent Hill, too. She was in Silent Hill.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, she played the cop, and the female cop in Silent Hill.
Maggie's Lynn's girlfriend, right? That's her name, right?
Lauren Cohen. Maggie Green.
Yeah, she's hot. Definitely
she's
hot.
She was on Vampire Diaries for a period of time as well, which also shoots here in Atlanta.
Nice.
She's a cutie. But yeah, man, it's all coming to a head, man. I think Andrew Lincoln, I think, did an interview, or maybe it was Nicotero. Somebody did an interview with Rolling Stone and said that 27 characters will be killed in the season
finale. Oh my God.
I didn't even know there were 27 characters on the show. Now, when they say characters, I'm sure they're referring to, like, Woodbury town folk and, you know, maybe a couple of the Tyrese's group, you know. So, I mean,
I don't think Tyrese is going to die.
No. Tyrese is a lot for Nick.
Two dorks with him. Those two white dudes, they probably will.
Yeah, I think Ben and his dad, I think, are on the chopping block for sure. Maybe Tyrese's girl. Maybe they'll keep her around, I don't know. But I think there's going to be a lot of slaughter in Woodbury, in my opinion. I think it's going to get crazy. I do worry about Andrea, though. You know, she's in a rough spot, you know, and again.
A lot of people are chanting for her to die. It's scary when you read the comments. They want her to die.
It really, yeah, and I would hate to see her go because she's such a strong character. I mean, she brings something to the show. I mean, I really, you know, but the fans ultimately, you know, have the final word. They really, really do. You know, that's why Daryl will never, ever, ever go away. You know, I mean, Daryl. I was talking to a buddy of mine, and we were talking. It's like, you know, God, can you imagine if you were picked to be the walker that had to kill Daryl? Can you imagine how shitty that would be to be the walker that would have to eat Daryl? Oh my God, I would like go underground. I would like go into the like witness protection program. I would never show my face in public again. You want to talk about being a hated person? Because you know my buddy gets a bad rap. You know, it's like a love hate relationship. My buddy Kevin, the one who killed Dale in season 2.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you know, he gets a lot of, you know.
I like Dale.
Yeah, Dale was a good guy.
Yeah,
he was the voice
great.
Of reason, which I think Herschel kind of stepped into that spot once Dale left. But yeah, it's going to be an intense couple episodes. But yeah, tomorrow night is my last appearance. Hopefully until we start shooting again. But yeah, man, that was definitely my most difficult day physically on the show.
I bet. I can't wait to catch up on, I guess, a Sunday night, and then one more Sunday, and we'll know, and then it doesn't come back to October.
Yep. It's going to be a long wait, but it should be a fun season, honestly. I think it's going to be a good season.
I'm just wondering if the governor, I know you can't tell me, but I wonder if the governor's going to die. He's such a main character, and
there was a lot of people talking about, you know, when him and Rick sat down, you know, everybody's like, you know, Rick should have shot him. Well, then what do you do with the show? What happens?
Yeah.
They just go back to the prison and clean up and, you know, go on about their business? I mean, like, where do you go from there? You know? But, I don't know that we would end it like that. You know, I think that story probably, that definitely has more potential to drag on I want to see more epic battles, the bomb that the governor set off at the prison with the bread truck. I want to see more of that. So, you know, I hope they don't kill him off too early, because that's some pretty awesome action. And that's for the fans that, you know, want all the zombie kills and want all the blood and guts and hack and slash, you know. They need to keep the governor around, because that's what he's all about.
It was that Mitt dude that lit the zombies on fire, wasn't it?
Well, you know what? It's funny, because on Talking Dead last Sunday, Laurie Holden and Chris Hardwick were talking about that particular scene, and they came to the conclusion, or not conclusion, but they I guess Laurie Holden had said that it was Milton. Well, my immediate thought was Morgan. And the only reason I say that is because prior to this last one, that's how Morgan disposed of walkers. He burned them. And I really don't think we've seen the last of Morgan. At least I hope not, because I really feel cheated not having the Morgan character in the show right now, because that Lenny James, his performance in that episode, him and Andy both were just absolutely brilliant. I think that episode is probably the best of the season.
Mitt's too big of a puss toot. I gotta say it's Mitt, right? He's like the scientist. He's too puss tooty to do something like that.
Mm-hmm. I just don't think he's got the cojones to pull something like that off. Not yet. I think the governor might push him a little more, or he might see a little more into what the governor's becoming, and maybe eventually head that way, but I don't think you can flip a switch like that quick, being that type of guy.
Well, who's the next major villain in the comics? There's somebody named Negan or something weird, or Negan or something, isn't there?
I'm not 100% sure, to be honest with you. I'm still catching up slowly, very
I'm still catching up, too. I know there's another big villain that comes up that's got to show up sooner or later.
You would expect, you know, because honestly, you know, at this point, you know, the walkers really aren't as much of a threat. You know, they've learned how to deal with walkers. They've learned how to disguise themselves amongst walkers. You know, they've adapted to their environment. So walkers really are much of an issue anymore. It's people, you know, it's us that are the threat. It's the governors that are out there. It's, you know, like the next villain that's going to step into the place and want that power, you know.
Have you read the comics up to the governor part? Are you?
I'm just getting into that.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how accurate that is compared to the actual governor.
Well, from what I understand, it's a big, you know, the prison Woodbury are a big, big portion of the comic book. So, I mean, that relationship, Michonne, the governor, you know, all of that storyline, you know, plays like a huge, huge chunk of the comic book. So, but then again, you know, they're not really sticking to the comic book. So, you know, there's so many different ways they could go, but, you know, I gotta hand them credit thus far for really performing a seamless juggling act between pleasing the comic book fans and the non-comic book fans.
You know, they've kind of gone back and forth, you know, slowly. You know, they'll throw the comic book fans a bone, like they did at the end of season two, bringing Michonne in, you know, and then the governor, putting the eye patch on, which kind of like, that was almost like flipping the switch for the governor. You know, it's almost like he put that eye patch on and now he's the comic book governor, you know? Because the comic book governor is a lot different than the governor on the television show. Much more tame. The comic book governor does some pretty maniacal, like very, very disgusting things to people.
Crazier. Well, I know if you're a listener out there and you don't watch The Walking Dead, you're missing out on one of the greatest shows on television. It's excellent.
Yeah, and there's no excuses because AMC is running every episode from the beginning all the way up to current, I believe, in the next week or so. So catch up.
And you can get them on Blu-ray too now, right?
Yes, season 1 and 2 are also available on Netflix. So if you have Netflix, 1 and 2 complete seasons are there. Season 3, I would imagine if it's released at the same time as season 2 was, I would imagine we would see season 3 on Blu-ray and DVD probably around the end of August, maybe middle of August. That, you know, is questionable as well, but we'll see.
If you get a chance, there's a cool show called House of Cards with Kevin Spacey. It's Netflix only. It's pretty good. I've been watching
it. Yeah, I had heard about that. And you know they're shooting from Amazon is doing something similar now. They're shooting the zombie pilot here.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, I'm not too sure about that one. They don't have any names, and none of the returning cast. It's all new people, and it's a TV show, and I just don't know. But we'll see. I'll give it a shot.
Kevin
Spacey's in it, so.
Kevin Spacey's a mean son of a bitch in that House of Cards.
Is he really? Yeah. I'll have to check it out.
He's a politician. He's just rude.
Oh, wow.
Banging everybody, making deals, and just ruthless.
I'll have to check
it out. It's all about exposing how corrupt politics is, and Kevin Spacey's at the center of it.
Oh, it's like a perfect role for him too.
Yeah, he's good. He should win a freaking Golden Globe or something. Game of Thrones, I can't wait for that to start. I love that. That's coming out very soon.
Game of Thrones, unfortunately.
Yeah, you ever watch it?
No, I've never watched one episode. Is it good?
You got a Netflix, so that's the book shit, but I'm going to. But yeah, season 3 starts in March, end of March. It's really good. It's great. It's a fantasy. It's up there with Tolkien. They're comparing to Tolkien. Yeah, it's good. It's just a basic fantasy, you know, all that kind of stuff, and then kings battling over the throne. There's these giant weird monsters and crazy stuff. It's complex. It's too complex for me to describe.
Yeah, that's totally not what I thought it was at all. I thought it was just some kind of like drama set back in like the Viking times or some shit like that, you know.
Vikings is pretty good on History Channel now. I don't like it. It's
not really
bad. Yeah.
Were you the one telling me about that?
Yes, by the makers of The Tudors. And the Showtime show The Tudors, but Vikings is it's a History Channel's first television show that's like a real show besides like a documentary. But it's really worth checking out. And it's cool because they cruise up on this Christian monk colony and they kill them, and it's terrible. They take all their artifacts and slave them, and they're hell Thor and all that stuff.
Oh my gosh.
It's great.
Wow. I'll definitely have to check it out. Yeah, I need a new TV show. I'm kind of running out now.
The following's not too bad.
I haven't had the time. I've been so busy lately. I really wanted to get into The Following because, you know, they shot that pilot here too. And a lot of my friends worked on that pilot. And, you know, I heard it was really, really good.
I'm afraid it's going to lose steam around second season though, because I just don't can only go so far with a serial killer and a cult of serial killers. I mean, they kill, like, people every episode. And Kevin Bacon is pretty cool, and then James Purefoy, but hopefully it doesn't lose steam. It's by the guy that did Scream, Kevin Williamson or whatever, and I think Wes Craven isn't involved, but Kevin Williamson. So any good horror movies? You seen any good horror movies lately?
I've been revisiting a lot of good, like, not older, but necessarily the stuff that's not so new. There's a movie out that I want to bring to your attention if you haven't seen it yet. And it does have Walking Dead ties. Lou Temple, who plays Axel, the prisoner in the show, a phenomenal actor. He was in Devil's Rejects, Rob Zombie's Devil's Rejects. He's been in a number of films, but he's also been in a movie called Trailer Park of Terror. And I don't
know if you
saw that or not. It kind of it flew under the radar of a lot of horror fans, unfortunately, but it's pure brilliance. I think it was so well done, and it's just that the acting was phenomenal, the effects were great, and it's called Trailer Park of Terror. And they do have copies, hard, like DVD copies on Amazon for as low as $6. I don't know if you can stream it anywhere. I haven't really dug too deep into that, but I'm sure you can find it if you dug hard enough. But yeah, Trailer Park of Terrors is one to definitely check out. I'm hopefully going to be going to an early preview of Evil Dead soon.
That I'm looking forward to that hardcore. Yeah, that's already getting reviews. They're already going to plan sequels for that. I'm glad
they were already banning that.
They're banning it?
Yeah.
Like in Egypt?
Yeah, I mean, countries that, like, you know, probably wouldn't watch it anyway. But, there's a lot of buzz around that one, man.
And Sam Raimi's doing Army of Darkness 2 and supposedly Evil Dead 4.
Really?
That's what one of them three is. And he didn't, which he... I read some quotes by him, I was like, oh, you're a dumbass, but...
Man, is this going to be overkill, though?
I don't know, but I know the guy that redid Evil Dead was successful, and he's already got sequels planned, and I can't wait to see it. And then Sam Raimi's supposed to be making Army of Darkness 2 and Evil Dead 4, and hopefully Bruce Campbell in those. And another one I'm looking forward to is Lords of Salem, which I know his movies are always mixed reviews, but I still enjoy watching some of these movies. So
yes. And catch that while you can, because it's going to be a while before you see Rob Zombie doing another horror film. I think the next film he's doing is like about the Philadelphia Flyers. I think the hockey.
It's not hockey.
Yeah.
Not hockey.
Yeah.
I know he's got a new music CD coming out called something about Rat Vendor or something or another.
Yeah, he's headlining the Mayhem Tour this year, I believe. This summer, I think. So yeah, he'll be on the road. And I'm looking forward to Lords. I think that'll be a good one.
There's not many good musicians out lately releasing CDs worth the crap, and that one's supposed to be pretty good. I've heard it's going to be one of those like comeback albums. And of course, the new Alice in Chains. I can't wait for that. And then the Tool guys just released some Alice Gray new art. So they're hinting to a new album, and I can't wait for that.
Great.
Sure. Yeah, I've been listening to Puss for a lot, which is a combination of Pussy and Pacifier.
Yeah.
But Mila Jovovich was in that a lot. I love her. She's great.
You know, I actually got to interview her years ago. And it wasn't even in relation to any movies or anything she did. She was in town on a musical tour. She was touring for her album, and she was doing a concert in Little Five Points at a coffee shop called Homage at the time. And I went there with a friend of mine, and we were just in the process of trying to put together an underground music magazine. And we went there, you know, a couple hours before the show, and we went in, and she's literally just sitting there playing checkers with, like, one of her... like guitar players or something like that, right there in the restaurant. So, you know, I kind of walked up to her and, you know, introduced myself, told her who I was and, you know, what my intentions were and everything. And, dude, she not only got us into the show for free,
But she took me directly backstage immediately after the show. We sat down, talked for about 30 minutes, and then afterwards she had me tagging along with her while she signed autographs for everybody. Everybody lined up and she was doing like an autograph
sign.
And I just kind of stood there with her and talked and watched her meet fans and stuff. And oh my God, she was the sweetest, sweetest, sweetest girl ever. But yeah, I've got it all on cassette tape. I like to play it every now and then just to kind of revisit. But yeah, that was the before the whole Resident Evil craziness.
She was in some weird lesbian magazine, butt ass naked, and I saw it online. It was, my God. I had a crush on her since I saw Fifth Element on LSD, like back in whenever, like,
oh,
million
yeah.
years ago.
Fifth Element. Oh, I remember her in Cuffs, man, with Christian Slater. And
yeah.
Used. And that's kind of when I started my Mila.
Yeah, Fifth Element's when I got a crush on her. She's awesome.
Yeah,
I like her.
She was a cutie in that one.
There's a porn star that reminds me of her named Stoya. If you ever look her up.
Stoya?
Stoya. She looks just like Mila Jovovich, but she's a porn star.
Wow.
Not
that's like a double whammy right there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, her name's Stoya. She's hot. But yeah,
oh, you know, okay. There's another project, Jeff, I wanted to tell you, and I cannot tell you the name of it because it's under a different title right now. It's currently being filmed in Atlanta, but I got to work on it, even for one day. I can't say anything other than to stay classy.
Stay classy?
That's the only hint I can give you at this point.
Stay classy.
Yeah.
American Horror Story.
A much anticipated sequel to a comedy that...
A comedy.
...will forever go down in history as one of the best movies ever. Just stay classy.
Stay classy. San Diego. I have no idea.
I can't come up and say it. I'll tell you off the air.
Okay, write to me in inbox, because I don't know. I'm brain dead. I had a breakup this week. Oh, yeah, if there's any hot gothic ladies out there with pot, I'm single now. Drop me a line. Yeah, I'm a chubby ball guy. That's paranormal radio show and a writer. Yeah, you can go to churchofmavisradio.com and contact me on the contact form. You have to be a goth chick or a hot chick, and you have to have marijuana. So, other than
those
that...
Those are the qualifications.
Those are the qualifications. I'm not playing around this time.
That's awesome. It's good to know what you want, you know?
Yeah. If anybody out there has a computer they want to get rid of because my ex tried to destroy mine, you can go to churchofmavisradio.com and... write me or donate to my PayPal, and I'm trying to get like $200 or $300 so I can buy a new computer because this stupid bitch poured coke all over my freaking computer. But anyway, you got any links or anything you want to
yes.
get out? Because we got
actually,
1 minute left.
Yeah, I do. I've been really, really busy. I'm actually Walking Dead fans. Get to Atlanta June 14th through the 16th. There's going to be a nice Walking Dead / Zombies convention going on in Atlanta. Norman Reedus is the first confirmed official guest at this convention. You do not want to miss this convention. There are going to be many, many, many walkers from the show there, and there are going to be many, many cast members there. It's in Atlanta during filming. Anything can happen. Go to IconFLA, that's EyeConFLA.com/zombies. And check it out. Also, you can find me on Facebook, Michael Jagger's Officially Undead. And that's it. That's all I got.
All right, everybody. We'll have Michael back on. He's an excellent co-host and excellent look into the horror world. We appreciate you all listening. And check out churchofmavisradio.com. You're listening to UFO Paranormal Radio Network. And make sure you check out iCar's site. We find their... site link, icar1.com, I believe it is. Icar, www.icar1.com.
join the International Community for Alien Research and become a member of ICAR, because I'm the Florida director, baby. That's right. So join. I command thee. I love you all, literally, and all the gothic hot chicks. And then you're, if you're just a hot chick. All right. Have a good weekend, and, damn, when's Easter? Next weekend?
It is, isn't it? Yeah, because we were talking about watching the finale of the episode, watching the Walking Dead finale on Easter.
That's right. Everybody have a happy
Easter.
Perfect.
Happy Zombie
All right,
Jesus
everybody.
Day.
All right, everybody. Good night. Take care. Bye-bye.
Run, Sarah.